Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
So some bigger picture things here on Bustin' Loose Baseball. I wanted to talk about Nathaniel Lowe. I find the Nathaniel Lowe conversation really interesting, Toby. I was texting with somebody in baseball within the last few days about him, and I was like, how is his WAR so terrible? You know, to me, it's very odd. Like, normally you can kind of predict based on your eyes and some of the stats, you know, of a guy. Like, I wonder what his WAR would be. And if you look at his WAR going into play today, BWAR was 0.0. FWAR was not really any different. In fact, he was minus like 0.1 before his multi-homer game against the Dodgers on Saturday. Now, he homered again. He drove in four. Just missed a grand slam. Would have been another two-homer game with a ton of RBI. But he, for the series, games two and three against the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine, had two homers and six runs batted in. So right now, he's got 13 jacks. And he's right at 51 RBI for the season. The run producing that he has done, the ability to hit with runners in scoring position, which has been really good. The ops plus, which is essentially league average offensively, right around 100, which is average, okay, after today's game. I would say he's a positive WAR player. He's always been known as a above average defender. Here's the problem. This year, he's below average defensively, and it's hurt his WAR. He's obviously not fast. He doesn't run particularly well. He's kind of a, you know, a bad-bodied guy, if I, as a fat guy, can say that. But, you know, he just looks like a baseball player from the 80s, in a sense, with the mustache and the smile and whatever else. But 6'4", 225, whatever he is, like, base running is going to be a minus. Defense is going to be a minus. And I would say, okay, well, that's pulling him down, and he's probably actually a much better player than you think offensively. But even his offensive WAR, if you just look at his O version of it, is like 0.0, which I find really interesting. I tweeted something to the effect, watching the game on Saturday night as he homered twice, that I actually liked the low deal still. I thought for $10 million to get him for a lefty non-closing reliever who's been okay, solid enough, for Texas, but not great, even for a team with a terrible bullpen, I would almost always trade a non-closing, non-dominant reliever for an everyday player who literally has played every day for the Nationals at a corner position and provided run production. Only James Wood's driven in more runs. Only James Wood has hit more home runs. Like, there is still value in that. And I know the analytics community kind of rolls their eyes at runs batted in or whatever. But to be long-winded here, just and sum this up, I guess my point is, I think there's multiple ways to look at Nathaniel Lowe, and the discussion I want to have is, should they try to trade him? Because I think they probably should at this point, but we'll get into that. Like, the idea, though, that he's a zero-win player, the idea that people look at him as like, oh, he's just not that helpful. Well, I bring up texting someone, and I'm like, how does Nathaniel WAR at that time have a very minimally a minus WAR? And they're like, because he's not very good. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that. Like, again, I'm not saying he's great. But, like, can we stop pretending like being on pace for 28 home runs and over 100 RBI doesn't mean something in this organization? So I looked this up, Toby. How many guys do you think have gone 27 and 100, which he's on pace for at the midway point? Not like 10 games in. At the midway point, he's on pace for, like, 27 and 100 homers and RBI. How many times do you think that's happened since the 2011 season here?
Oh, since 2011, probably. I don't know if Rendon hit 30 that one year to get over that, but not many.
That's a lot of division championship winning, good lineup, good baseball teams, World Series team, teams that went in as the one seed in the NL multiple times. Like, how many times do you think, again, 27 homers, 100 RBI happened?
I'll go three times.
That's the exact answer. three times. It was 2019, both Soto and Rendon did it, and 2015, I think, or 2017, the year Zim had the big 30-homer year, he went 30 and 100. That's literally the entire list since I believe it was Adam LaRoche did it in like 2011 with 30 and 100.
Yeah, because even Harp's MVP season in 15, right, finished with 99 ribbies.
Exactly. Now, he had an amazing year, like a better year. I'm not suggesting he didn't. He was a 9.7 win player, and offensively, 42 homers, and it was a better year. But what I'm saying is, I think we can have two conversations. Like, is Nathaniel Lowe a great player? No. Is Nathaniel Lowe, does zero war make sense to me? Not really. The idea that for a team that power costs money, they're never going to go sign a guy, or they haven't in years, and I don't expect they would this offseason, but God willing, they're not going and getting a 3,100 bat. It just doesn't happen. So to bring that guy in for a reliever is incredible to me. And I just think that while the defense has regressed substantially, and that's a big reason why the war has gone away. By the way, offensively, like a lot of the things are worse. He walks less. He strikes out more. I think some of that may, if he was on the team next year, may be a little bit better. I don't know. But, you know, maybe he just completely hit a wall and fell off in this regard. So his batting average is way down. His on base is way down because he doesn't walk as much. You know, strikeouts are up, all this stuff. But I'm just not going to pretend like 27 and 100, if that's what he finished with, it means nothing. That does not happen. In this post-World Series era, they haven't had anybody sniff that. You know, I think they've had guys lead the team with 55 and 68 runs batted in. So, I don't know. I just think I wanted to get that off my chest a little bit and then talk about what to do with Lowe. But you know, I tweeted it, and you would have thought I was like saying K-Bert Ruiz is having a good season. Like, people can kick rocks with, well, his war is. Look, I like numbers and analytics as much as anybody. But if you watch this team every single day, there's one run producer, basically, outside of James Wood that routinely comes through and drives guys in, and it's him. And those don't grow on trees for a team that spends zero money.
Yeah, and I think he is so integral in that clubhouse as a leader, even though it's his first year there. I think he is someone that is a big – I mean, he's won a World Series, so having him around the guys I think is big. And, you know, I think this is something that you have to factor in. Like, we'll have the trade discussion in a second, but if you only got him for Robert Garcia, what are you going to get when you trade him and he's quote-unquote worse than he was in Texas? And I don't buy that either. Now, defensively, I have been underwhelmed because I was sold on this guy who was a gold glover who was going to be really, really good. And, you know, not that long ago, they had a guy that was over there in Dom Smith who didn't help you a whole lot at the plate, but was really solid defensively. And so you could see the dividends that he paid by helping out CJ Abrams, helping out the guys on the infield. And I haven't seen that same level of play at first base from Nathaniel Lowe. But at the plate, he's been helpful. It's not as if he's been great, but I think it's in some ways he's been better than you expected. Like, the power that he's shown this year, you know, we were talking before this.
He's going to tie his career high for homers. He's only been in that stratosphere like one time. I mean, yeah, his home run count by year, 7, he didn't play a lot, but 7, 4, 18, 27, 17, 16, and he's got 13 this year, and he's on pace for 27.
Yeah, and so I think going into the season, even the discussions we were having was, if he gives you 20 home runs, you'd be happy with that. And if even if he slows down, which he probably will at some point, but let's say he finishes with 20 homers and 80 RBIs for a first baseman that can help you out every day. Think about the first basemen that have been running through here the last couple of years. Remember when they tried Joey Gallo? Remember when they tried, like I mentioned, Dominic Smith and guys like that? He's more helpful than all of those guys. And so you can look at the war and say that he hasn't been helpful, but he has been. He's been someone that has been at the plate in big spots and come through, and he's driven in a lot of runs, and they're still ultimately, like, we can look at the numbers and all this stuff, Grant, and we definitely are more analytical in nature than a lot of people. But I mean, at some point it's about scoring runs, and when Ducks are on the pond, more often than not, he's been able to come through and drive those guys home. So that still means something.
Look, I'm not a nincompoop, okay? I understand that, like, having home runs and RBI and being bad at everything else, essentially, does not a good season make offensively. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, let's not disrespect, especially in the situation we're in. We're smelly, we're gross, we're single, we haven't been on a date in years, our breath stinks, like, and we're at the movie theater with someone. Let's not pick nits over what she wore, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't have dudes that come in here and hit 25 homers. We all throw a party because Jamer Candelario, you know, he doubles a few times, or Jesse Winker draws some walks. But Nathaniel Lowe, you know, you want to get upset? I don't really get it. Now, his on-base percentage for his career is 350, and over the last 3 years in a row was 360. It's 295 this year. That's a huge drop-off, and that's not okay. I mean, it's a huge difference. Well, the walk rate is a big reason for that, but also he's hitting, you know, 40 points lower. He hit 300 in Texas in 2022 in a good lineup. This is a crap lineup. I don't care as much about the average, for the record. Like, 228, take it or leave it. But the on-base has to be there. You know, you got to draw the walks. The strikeout rate, one of the things I liked about him is he was more of like a ball-and-play guy. And not to say that he didn't strike out. I mean, there was a season where he struck out 160 times in Texas. But, like, you know, the strikeout rate was not alarming. It's up this year. He's going to strike out a career-high amount of times, I'm quite sure, probably right around 170, 175 times, whatever. But I guess my point is, like, Ops Plus for him, when it was going at his peak in Texas 3 years ago, was around 140, which is awesome. The last 2 years, it's basically been around 115. It's about 100 right now. So, yes, he's down, but the problem is not that. It's that the defense has gotten worse, and he's obviously not going to help you run the base paths. But before we get into essentially like what to do with him, should they shop him, especially if he gets hot, I guess final thought from you on him. Just looking at some Savant numbers, by the way, you know, 27th percentile expected batting average, 32nd expected slug, 33rd barrel percentage, kind of middling. Average exit velocity is 44th, hard hit percentage is 42nd, sweet spot's 58, bat speed 63rd, doesn't square a lot up, 15th percent. Whiff rate is league average. Strikeout rate is 13th percentile. Walk rate is league average. There's a lot of things where he's low on them. There's a lot of areas where he's middling. But you got a 16th percentile sprint guy who doesn't have a good arm at first. I don't know if that matters a whole lot. But, you know, from a base running standpoint, he's second percentile. And he fits in well, I guess, here. And
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
From a fielding run value, they're actually giving him like basically average 51st percentile, but his batting run value in Servant's 24th percentile. So I don't know. I was shocked when I tweeted like, hey, for a reliever that doesn't close games and has been okay with the Rangers, and I get to this bullpen's a disaster. Like, here's my question. Would Nats fans rather have not done that deal? Like, would, knowing what you know right now, would you rather have Robert Garcia on this team than Nathaniel Lowe? I'm sorry, I just disagree with that.
No, I wouldn't. And I mean, your other options would be then Josh Bell's playing every day. And I'm frankly already done with Josh Bell being the DH. Do I want him at first base every day, or Andres Chaparro? Like, no. Like, he's been the best first baseman they've had the last couple of years, which is not a very high bar, but he has been. And I wonder too, I mean, some of what was talked about with Josh Bell is when he was brought in here that he was going to say, I'm going to hit for some more power and I'm going to try to provide that. Are we sure that that same sort of conversation, even though Nathaniel Lowe hasn't explicitly said it, are we sure that that same conversation wasn't mentioned when they traded for him? Like, hey, you're going to come over here, maybe sell out for a little bit more power, but you're going to strike out a little bit more, but that's okay. And I don't know that that's a good thing. I'm not saying that that's exactly what the Nationals did, but he is hitting for more power than he has for most of his career, and in turn is striking out more and doesn't have as high an on-base percentage. I'd like to see him go back to the guy that you were talking about, put the ball in play. So, you know, if it's not the case and he's just struggling this year, look, part of the reason, too, you did this deal is he's here for this year and next. And I know Nationals fans are probably sick of him from the sounds of it, but, I mean, he's been helpful over there. This team has not had any production out of the first base position and DH position over the last couple of years. And if you're going to be frustrated over potentially 20 to 25 homers and probably well over 80 RBIs from that spot, then I just can't get on board with that, because it's, even if he's not having the great defensive season that we were thinking, it's not like he's a negative defensively. I wouldn't say, like, he's probably around average. Like you said, Baseball Savant kind of has him graded out as, and I would bet on track record, like Mike Rizzo always talks about, back of the baseball card. I would bet that some of these things even out. Maybe the power comes down, but the on base goes up. Maybe he's able to improve defensively as the season goes on. So I would bet on those things happening, but absolutely, 100 times out of 100, you get a chance to trade a guy like a Robert Garcia who, yeah, he's done okay over there, and even then, he's still been unproven when he was here. You get a chance to move that kind of a reliever and get an everyday first baseman because that's exactly what he is. Maybe not for a winning championship ball club, but for where they're at right now, he's not a replaceable player, in my opinion. If that's the case, then yeah, I'll do that every time.
So I was talking to somebody about Lowe recently and kind of what the Nats should do and moving forward. And I hadn't even considered this, and I'm not sure that I agree with it, but I want to throw it out there. The suggestion had kind of come up that, well, Lowe was probably not going to be in their plans for next year anyway, or certainly wasn't definitively going to be in their plans for next year anyway, because either he'd come in here and he'd place too well and his ARB number would be too high and they would non-tender him, or he would just stink up the joint and not be worth whatever number he could get in arbitration, some raise from $10 million, and he'd be non-tender. That one I could definitely see more likely than the other one. But the idea is there's a real path to him not being on the team one way or the other. And if that is in fact the case, and we don't know that, they know that behind the scenes, then they should be shopping him because I think he is a useful player. I think in a better lineup, in better situations, where maybe you do get days off against lefties and maybe you, are getting better. You know, people don't love the idea of support in a lineup, but, you just got more good, legit hitters around you elevating your game. Maybe there is a bounce back for a contending team that needs a guy who can come through and drive in runs and hit some home runs. By the way, he's got a World Series on his resume. As you said, he's kind of thought of as this, really like playful, high IQ, really media-friendly dude. So I could definitely see him having some value if they wanted to shop him. I know Jim Bowden of The Athletic has kind of floated over and over again that he should be traded at the deadline. He's linked Boston to Lowe several times over, including this past week, and he had the idea of going and getting an arm, throws real hard in single A from the Red Sox or something like that. But I don't know. I'm interested in this because, we're going to start having some of these conversations with like a Mike Soroka. I'd like to re-sign Soroka and keep him around as a back of the rotation guy moving forward. But it could become a point now where clearly they're not winning this year, where if it's not bolted down, they could do the same old Nats bit of the last few years, which has made a lot of sense, right? Go add pieces, add it to the system. For every, Jamer Candelario trade for like a DJ Hers or the stuff that people don't even know about having helped them yet, but like Jesse Winker for a Tyler Stewart, it just adds arms, it adds pieces, it adds depth, it adds competition, and that's how your system gets a lot better. So maybe they will go flip Soroka if they can, or if Lowe gets on a heater who's homered three times for six RBIs the last couple of days. Maybe all of a sudden he's got, 17, 18 home runs at the break on pace for, now look at, probably won't hit there, but like let's say he's on pace for 32 home runs or something if he gets red hot here in the next week or two. And maybe all of a sudden you make those calls and it is a little bit more intriguing for teams. I would be open to trading him, though. The problem I have and the question I have is, are they going to do better? Like, I think two things are true. It's probably accurate to say that the best business baseball decision would be to move on from Lowe with declining defensive skill set at first, walk rate down, strikeout rate up, kind of, his value is in the stuff that's not necessarily sustainable, if you will, year over year, and that some of the metrics aren't as good. And then you go do something else at first. But do you really think they're going to go spend big at first? Do you really think they're going to go add, what costs money? Home runs. Are they going to replace 27 to 30 home runs? Are they going to replace, let's just say he drives in 90 to 100 RBI? I don't think they will. And that's why you may have to just stick this out, pay him 10 to 12 million, whatever it ends up being, next year. I don't know what that number is. But where are you on this? I think this is fascinating.
Yeah, so generally I am at the deadline. If you're not going anywhere and you've got a guy, which Nathaniel Lowe has another year of arbitration, so you could theoretically keep him around next year, even though, like you said, maybe his ARB number would get to a point that they wouldn't want to pay it, which would be ridiculous. But, to me, at some point, Grant, you have to keep people. And especially a guy that's not on a rental deal where he could be back next season, what are you getting in return?
Do you agree with the idea that he may not be back based on non-tendering him?
Which would be stupid, but sure, maybe. I mean, he's the highest paid player on their team right now, and you would think that his contract's going to go up.
I mean, how infuriating is that if that's like, wow, we're doing this? But okay, so let's just say, like, doesn't that make it more because of the control, because it's not a rental, because someone's getting two postseasons in a year and a half of a very serviceable starting first baseman for a first division team, wouldn't that make it smarter to move him? Or
It all depends on the return, Grant. It all depends. Like, if you get a guy that you think can really help you down the line, fine. But if you're just getting a guy that kind of fits his org depth and maybe at some point is a pitcher that can help you out of the pen, but he's not going to become a big-time reliever, then I think at some point you need some consistency in that clubhouse as well. I think you need to have the same sorts of voices around to help out some of these young guys. I mean, you've got so many young players on this team, and we saw this last year. When you trade away a lot of these veterans and you're just a clubhouse full of young guys, you need some people to police some things. And I don't know if Lane Thomas is still in that clubhouse last year, if you have the CJ incident or not, but I always point to the fact that Lane Thomas wasn't there and you had the CJ incident, right? Like, I think at some point you need to have some guys around that can help these guys go through this. And hopefully they can play some better baseball. To me, you look at a team in another sport, it kind of reminds me of how the Charlotte Hornets, year in, year out, have players that are talented, but they seemingly never get better, and they do the same song and dance every year where they have fun guys to watch, but they finish with one of the worst records in the league every year. Is that going to become the Nationals, where you have some of these dudes and they're super fun to watch and they've got a lot of talent, and every year we go, I don't know how they can't win ball games? At some point, you got to keep veterans around to help these guys learn how to win ball games. Like, I know you can't quantify that. I know you can't look a stat up on that. I know you can't find a number for that. But I think that means something. And having a guy like a Nathaniel Lowe that has won a World Series, that has played winning baseball before, that's been in a winning organization with young players before, I think that means something to the clubhouse. So if you get something that's going to be big time, it's going to be a big time part of your future, you know, as someone that can really help you down the line as a prospect, fine. I totally get it. But if you're just selling for selling's sake, I'm not on board with that. Now, you know, if you're looking around the rest of the roster, Soroka, maybe, but a guy that you can have for next season, I don't fully understand why, you know, people feel like you need to move on when you acquired this guy for a trade that we feel like for the most part is still good. So are you telling me like you would just flip it back if Robert Garcia was the return? No, I wouldn't do that. So
I wouldn't either. To be honest, like, go back and listen to the pod. Every time it's come up, I've said, well, I'm not trading Lowe. He's not a free agent, right? But this idea was floated of like, well, they could non-tender him. And if that happened, I think that then becomes kind of like a Finnegan-esque disaster, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
But again, we don't have the information. They have to know. They're working three steps ahead. Rizzo and them have their 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan, whatever. They know if that's a legit reality. And if it's a true thing that maybe that's possible, that he's not coming back, good or bad, and let's say in this case, hypothetically, you know, because the player that you thought was going to come in here and be a, you know, 2.5, 3-win player, that's where he's been for the Rangers for the most part, 2.7, 2.9, 3.2 the last 3 years, ends up being, in this case, hypothetically, you know, a slight minus player by a couple of decimal points, and he was 2.5 or 2.8 wins worse than you thought, then it's not crazy at all to assume he's due a raise. They may non-tender him. And if that is a path that could happen, now I'm talking about flipping him. And for a year and a half of Lowe, a power hitting first baseman, power hitting in air quotes, I guess it was only a couple months ago I was saying he doesn't hit for power, but a first baseman who can drive in runs and give you some run productivity, I think you'd get an arm that's ranked in the like 10 to 12 range in somebody's system who, you know, is a teenager and you know, an Alex Clemmie type player, you know, or somebody like that. And if you're adding another guy to your system in that lower minors range who throws gas and is an arm that's worth checking out what they're doing every 5 days, I just think that is a win if he's not in the plans. Now, if they think, dude, we brought him in here for 2 years, he's definitely going to be on the team next year, then okay, no harm, no foul. The other thing you could do, by the way, I haven't really talked to anybody about this, but if there is major concern about like the regression defensively and just look, he doesn't run well, defense is getting worse, whatever, I don't know why you couldn't DH him or something, you know, next year, or have him even in a, well, I'd have to look at his splits, but like in a platoon, Josh Bell's gone. Again, are you spending on a DH? That's a funny joke. I wrote it down in my journal and laughed about it later.
The other part about this, Grant, is like, okay, so you move on from Nathaniel Lowe. So who's your first baseman next year? So you're going to take that potential
entire part. I don't think this is the other part. Yeah,
so are you going to take
the entire part?
Are you going to take that $10 million that he's getting paid this year? And let's say he gets a bump up to $12-13 million next year. So you're going to take that and spend that, or are you just going to sit on your hands again and not spend? And if that's the case, then you got to keep him around. And you've brought this up, and I'm not saying you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth with this, but I think if the organization does something like this, they would be. You're talking about, let's draft a pitcher 1-1 because you view them as best player, but also matches the timeline. Well, then you're going to move off a guy who could be helpful in your timeline because you don't want to pay him. Like, you can't do that. Like, your timeline is now.
Just to clarify, I don't think it would be that you don't want to. I mean, yes, it's that you don't want to pay him, but it's not that they don't want to pay a first baseman $15 million. I'm just making the number up. It's because they would say he's not worth $15 million. Like, if you're coming off of a year where you were worth minus 0.2 in war, that is a bad investment in terms of what the algorithm says to spend. Again, this comes back to the conversation.
That algorithm
I started
also spit out Colin Poche. So.
What's that?
That algorithm also spit out Colin Poche. So.
Right. But my point is, this comes back to my original conversation of like, I think he's having a better year than some of the, like,
correct.
The data would suggest in terms of war or whatever. But when you really dive into particulars, it's not good. I mean, he doesn't walk. He's striking out. You know, a lot of the metrics in terms of predictors are not friendly. I think it is true to say at this point of his career, he's close to 30 years old now, right? He turns 30 in like 15 days. I think his days as an above average defender are behind him probably based on what we've seen this year. But I just looked this up. Against right-handed pitching, he's had bad luck. He's like 30 points unlucky in BABIP. But even still, his OPS is over 750. His, you know, that's where most of his powers come from. I think 12 of his 13 home runs now have come against right-handed pitching. So, you know, do you want to spend that much for like a DH that spends a lot of time against lefties not hitting? Maybe not, but I don't know why that couldn't be an option. And again, I'm just coming back from the last thing I'll say, because I think I'm going in circles and redundant on this. It's hard for me to answer this without knowing what's next. If in a world where they actually went out, and I'll just give you a name, okay? If they went out this offseason and signed Josh Naylor to play first base, and they paid him real baseball money, and he came in here to start at first base, that is a massive upgrade. That's awesome.
Big time.
He's a guy, he'll end up 2.5 wins, kind of what they thought Lowe was going to be. He can actually steal some bases. He's going to steal close to 20 bags this year. He's hitting over 300. He slugs over 460. We just saw him recently. You know, his OPS is over 820. I think he's got a 130 ops plus. Like, that's a better baseball player. In a world where they go out and get him, of course, yeah, trade Lowe, go get your arm, sign Naylor, cool. That's how good teams do it. My fear is you trade him, and then your first baseman is some jag for $6 million, yeah, like Josh Bell, right? Like Mark Canna. You know, they signed Mark Canna at 37 or whatever the hell old he is to come in here and play first. And like, that is a no-go for me. I'd rather have Lowe.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at just this past offseason, if they were going into the similar situation where they want to move on, a guy that we both wanted was Christian Walker, right? And he ended up going
Mike
for
Rizzo
3 for 60.
Also wanted him.
Well, exactly. So he ended up going 3 for 60, so $20 million. So if you're not willing to spend that, then you can at least save a few bucks by spending 12 to 13. Like, instead of having to pay a guy that could give you similar type production or maybe a little bit more, hopefully. Like, I don't know. I just, to me, it'd be incredibly stupid if the reason that you're moving on is because after watching him for these couple of months, your idea was, yeah, he's probably not back next year anyways. if that is the case, then yeah, sign me up. I'm a little bit more interested in trading him. But I hate operating under that assumption. So for me, I would hold on to him.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.